I love books, as I'm sure many of you would know. In fact, this year, because of COVID-19, my reading has only increased. I started listening to a podcast about books when we were in lockdown, and turns out this is a really dangerous thing to do. Now, all these parcels keep arriving at my doorstep full of new books. I keep books in my office, books in my study, a book in the lounge room, a book in my bag for when I visit the Central Coast, and a pile of books near my bed. I think my love for books began when I was a kid, with my dad reading stories before he went to sleep. My grandmother would often give us as a present some of the English classics like Little Women or Black Beauty. I don't remember learning how to read, but I do remember spending a lot of time in the library at my school, curling up into a beanbag and reading lots of fantasy books. My parents were quite strict about the TV shows we watched, but never seemed to keep track of what I was reading, and so I made the most of that freedom. At a young age, I began to browse through people's bookshelves, skimming through their books. And it was there that I first really encountered the Bible for myself. I don't know if you can remember the first time you read the Bible, but for me, in the beginning, it was my mother's Bible. White cover with thin pages, a few black and white illustrations, the Good News Bible. You remember that? In the school holidays, when I was bored, I would open it up and flip through the stories, most of which I didn't understand. I remember weird images of beasts emerging from the seas. They intrigued me the most. I loved the Book of Daniel and Revelation, and as a teenager, I loved the depressing books like Ecclesiastes and Job. Without anyone explicitly telling me, I knew that the Bible was important. So I read the Bible front to back, back to front, and the Bible became important to me too. I started to be given Bibles of my own. The Bible is the only book where I have multiple copies that always sits near my bed. Other books come and go, but the Bible remains. I don't always read a lot of books the second time because I'm on to the next book, but I keep returning to the Bible. I read it every day. This is a collection of books I treasure. Now, not everybody loves books. Not everyone loves reading. Some people really struggle with it. And not everyone discovers the Bible the way I did. For most of history, people didn't read. There is a diversity in how people come to the Bible. Perhaps you first heard someone else read and interpret the Bible for you. Perhaps the Bible was quoted in a movie or in a conversation and it stuck with you. Maybe you encountered one of its stories in stained glass windows in a church building or saw it acted out in a play, sung in a song. Maybe you picked it up off a bookshelf or were given one. There are many ways we come across the Bible, and there are many reactions people have to the Bible. We can be confused, bored, scared, hate it, love it. We can treat it as sacred scripture or not. The Bible has been understood and used and abused in so many ways. There is a great diversity. But as a church, we say we value it. We say the Bible is important in this community. Why? I think 2 Timothy 3 gives part of the answer. In this letter, Paul says to Timothy, verse 15, actually verse 14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Paul talks about something called the scriptures here. There are writings that Paul considers important, holy, and he urges Timothy to continue to learn from them. So what scriptures is Paul talking about? Well, there's a little bit of debate here. Definitely, Paul is referring to what we would call the Old Testament, or what the Jewish people would call the Tanakh. The Jewish people had long considered the Torah, law, the first five books of our Bible, holy scriptures. Then they had the Nevim, the prophets, and this includes what we would consider the historical books like Samuel and Kings, as well as the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and the minor prophets. And then there are the writings, the Kedim, like Psalms, the wisdom literature, Daniel, and a few books that were kind of debated, like Esther and Song of Songs. These books were considered special, divine in some way. There's also a collection of Second Temple writings, more recent works, which were important to the Jews, but there was debate about whether they should have the status of being sacred scripture or not. Now, Christians early on started to circulate the letters of Paul and the letters of Peter and the letters of John around the churches. And when the Gospels were written, these too began to be passed along and copies made. So Paul might also be talking about these texts as well here. Even if he isn't, by the second century, we start to see Christians treating the letters of Paul and Peter and John and the Gospels and the book of Revelation as being God-breathed, holy scriptures. Eventually, the church gathers for a series of big meetings in the 4th century where they create an official list of what is to be included in the New Testament, and they affirm the Tanakh as holy scripture. Now, this official list is called the canon. Canon meaning measuring stick or rule. There was debate about the Second Temple writings and whether they should be included or not, and so you might notice today that there are in fact several biblical canons. If you look through a Catholic Bible, you will notice that the Second Temple writings are included in their canon, meaning they have 73 books. The Orthodox Church has the biggest canon with around 80 books, and what we are probably used to, the Protestant canon, has only 66 books officially listed, considered to be God-breathed. Now, once again, we see a diversity at play here, but also a unity, because at the end of the day, however big or small the canon is, together this library of books are believed to be telling one big story about God. The claim of the Bible is that there is a God who speaks, a God who creates, intimately involved in this world, a God who loves. The Bible, through all its various genres, tells a story about God and about us, how we pull away from God, how we misunderstand and distort God, about how God keeps reaching out to us, showing grace. Now, sometimes we have these moments of faith, and then we also do some pretty terrible things. John's Gospel declares the Word of God became flesh, and that Jesus is that word. Jesus speaks, calling people to draw near and get to know God. The Gospels tell of people being transformed. Some even want to follow and learn from Jesus because he knows God in a way nobody has seen before. Jesus says the kingdom of God is breaking into this world. A new creation is coming. Put your faith in me. And many do. And then he is crucified, and the claim of the Gospels is that he was resurrected. One of the central reasons why these scriptures are so important, as Paul says to Timothy, is that they are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Old Testament tells this epic story, which Christians believe is fulfilled in Jesus. One of the central reasons why I turn to the Bible is to encounter Jesus. He has a way of changing people, even now. Paul goes on to say that this story, these holy scriptures, are special because they are God-breathed. You might sometimes hear Christians speak about these scriptures as being inspired by God, and they get that idea from this passage in Timothy. But I like the literal translation actually more. God-breathed. What does it mean for them to be God-breathed? Well, there are many ideas, but when I hear the phrase God-breathed, I think of the opening story in the Bible, In the beginning, there is spirit and darkness and chaos. We have this description of God's spirit hovering, and in this spirit, God speaks. God breathes, and there is life, a great diversity of life emerging, creation. God creates the heavens and the earth, and they are joined. Well, in a similar way, the Jewish people and then Christians believe that God continues to speak. God speaks. God breathes onto these scriptures, and there is life. This library of books, this collection of diverse genres full of stories, laws, poetry, songs, wise sayings, history, fiction, lament, prophecy, visions, letters, biographies, formed out of oral traditions, scribes writing them down, people editing and bringing them together, preserving the scrolls over a long period of time, spanning cultures, has God's breath throughout it and in it. Paul goes on to say that God breathes in and through these words for a particular purpose, to bring life. So we would learn, be rebuked, corrected, reorientated towards righteousness, so we would become wise, that we would come to know that salvation is found through faith in Christ Jesus, so that we would be transformed, equipped for every good work as we join in seeing God's kingdom come. These God-breathed words are given to bring new life to us, to form a people who live in relationship with God, who walk in the ways of God. And that's what countless people have actually experienced. Not just that the Bible is God-breathed, but that God breathes in us now. The Holy Spirit is at work in us and in these words now. Across different times and cultures, people speak about encountering God, God's power, God's love, God's truth in these scriptures. The Bible is like any other book in many ways, and yet also not. That's why we value the Bible. That's why we listen to the Bible being read out in our church gatherings week in and week out. That is why we have people teaching from the Bible. We open it up and we consider a chapter or a verse or a book from the Bible. We ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on us and speak afresh through these words so that we would be transformed. That's why we have home groups that happen throughout the week where people gather in someone's home and there is talk and debates and listening and reading the Bible together. There's a diversity in how to read the Bible. It can be studied and analyzed. I've spent long and torturous hours trying to study the original Greek and then Hebrew to know it better. It can be imagined and played with, as many artists and writers have. It can be used as a way of praying. People take the Bible and contemplate it. They spend hours in silence, maybe perhaps outside somewhere, and they read just a line and use it to pray to God. People let these words guide major and minor decisions in their lives. These words are living words. Madeleine L'Engle is one person who also loves reading and stories and became a writer, most famous for her work, A Wrinkle in Time. And she writes about the Bible and the impact it has on her life. She says she has found comfort and challenge, joy and truth. She speaks about how the Bible has nourished her. She says, "During my morning and evening reading of scripture, I do not skip. If it's there for a reason, and I read it all, every bit of it. If we read Leviticus with an open heart, we'll see that the message is not to burden people with an overwhelming number of laws, but to call us to be God's holy people. But it's the stories that have always drawn me in. The stories we breathe in, the stories we immerse ourselves in, they shape us, shape the way we see the world, shape the way we act." Madeleine was drawn to the story of God's love, and so she created the lifelong habit of reading the Bible because she wanted it to shape her. And sometimes I'm sure it was a hard habit to maintain, because the Bible can be deeply troubling. It can be hard to understand. It can seem disconnected from life now. There are violent and problematic stories and laws recorded. I struggled for a time about what the Bible means for women. Sometimes it feels not full of life, but oppressive. There's so many interpretations on what it means. It's this complicated and ancient work which has so many layers and commentaries on it. And when I look around, I see people fighting over it. The Bible becomes yet another weapon we can use against one another. There are times when it seems easier to just leave it behind. I don't know if you've ever felt that, but my understanding of the Bible has changed over time. What I think it means changes, and I think will keep changing. There's a mystery here, a tension I hold of how the Bible is holy and divine and yet also ordinary and human. Kind of like breathing. If I concentrate too much on breathing, I actually find it becomes harder to breathe. So it can be when I think about the Bible and what it means for it to be inspired. All I know is that this is meant to be a gift. And I have found richness, wisdom, grace in these scriptures. I have found God. If we want to be a church that is open to the Spirit of God, then I think we need to engage with these scriptures. God invites us into a dynamic, living relationship. I believe God is still breathing onto us. The Spirit of God is still at work creating something new in this world, bringing life. And so the invitation is to come to these scriptures as you are and be open. Recognize that the part of what God is calling us to is to wrestle and ask questions, to hear the diverse voices in the Bible and the diverse voices in the church. And through it all, we are looking for God. So can you make it a habit to engage with the scriptures in your week? Or maybe if you're already engaging in the scriptures weekly, how about daily? How can you grow in your knowledge and understanding of these scriptures? Wherever you find yourself in relation to the Bible or to God, can you commit for a year to spending time in these words, turning these words over and over in your head and see what happens? I suspect you will find life here. I suspect that if we did this as a church, we would be filled with a fresh sense of life and possibility. Let me give you some space now to think about your reading habits or how you engage with the Bible. And what would it look like for you to value the Bible in your everyday lives? What habits can you commit to as you think about 2021?